Don't you love those moments when your heart rejoices because you've heard His voice in the tempest? To Him you then flee, there to lean on His arm, safe, secure from all harm, since He reached down His hand for me. So grateful when I'm reminded of what I have in Him, where I stand in Him, standing on the rock. Turn with me, if you would, back to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. I want to read three verses to you. And these verses just touched me the moment that I read them. As soon as I read these, they just touched me. I pray the Lord will make them to be a blessing to us right now. I pray He'll open them up to us and bless them to our hearts right now. Psalm 73, beginning in verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When I read that, I immediately thought, that is the wonderful cry of every believer. What a glorious cry that we get to cry. That's the peace, that's the heart, that's the hope of every believer. But whenever I read that, I was also able to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ in that. And I was also able to hear the voice of the Father in that. Listen to this again. As a gloriously loving conversation between the Father and the Son. Okay? Christ speaking as the man, our substitute, God manifest in the flesh, the one who came down to fulfill the work that His Father gave Him to do. That's why Christ came. He came to fulfill the work of redeeming His people and the work of earning a righteousness for His people. Everybody knows that if you're going to go to heaven, you got to do good. You got to have a record of good to bring to God. Well, that's what Christ earned for His people. A record of good. And while He was here, the Scripture says that He was in constant communion with His Father. And listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ as He says to His Father in verse 24, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. He said, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel as I walk through this life for my people. The whole time I will look to you. You will guide me. I will look to you. I will wait on you. Turn with me over to John chapter 5. John 5, look at verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, These also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. In verse 30, he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. As I hear, I judge. Look at John chapter 6, verse 38. He said, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He said, Father, you're going to guide me in the work that you sent me to do. And he said, I'm going to finish that work. And you're going to be well pleased with me. And as my reward, I'm going to walk straight through the gates of heaven itself. You'll receive me into glory. Look at John 17. John 17, verse 4. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He said, Father, I glorified you here in the land of the dead on this earth. I glorified you. And he said, now glorify me in the land of the living. Glorify me there in heaven where I was with you before this world was ever even made. Turn with me over to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, and I love the heading at the top of my page. It says, Sovereignty of God. This is the sovereignty of God. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Now who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. And if you have a center margin, you see where O Jacob, mine has a little number 2. That means, O God of Jacob. That's who I'm speaking to. That seek thy face, O God of Jacob. So verse 7 says, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He said, Get ready, gates, because the King is coming in, and he's worthy to come in. He finished the work and he's worthy to walk straight on in. So go back to Psalm 73. Verse 24, listen to this, is Christ saying to his Father, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." All right, now listen to the Father's reply to the Son. Verse 25, he says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." He said, "Son, you are all my delight. You are the complete apple of my eye." Christ is the apple of the Father's eye. He says, "You are the fullness of heaven. You are what fills heaven. And you're the only thing that makes the earth worth redeeming. You are the hope of earth and the joy of heaven." I love that song. He's the hope of earth and joy of heaven. Verse 25, he said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." None upon earth. God the Father has only been well pleased with one person on this earth. I wish men and women could get a hold of that. They're trying so hard to please God. They're trying so hard to please God. They're just working and struggling and trying to please God. And they're trying to please God. In the moment that God reveals to a sinner, there has only been one person on this earth that God the Father has ever been pleased with. It just stops all that. There's been one man that the Father has been pleased with, and he's satisfied in that man. We just read this in John 5. We read this wording, but it also says it in John 3. It says, "The Father loveth the Son." And in John 3 it says, "He has given all things into his hand." Everything into his hand. The Father is only well pleased with Christ. The Father only loves us in Christ. He only accepts us and he only chooses us in Christ. He said, "This is my beloved Son. In him I'm well pleased." Well pleased. Why? Why is the Father so well pleased with the Son? It's because of this right here. This is the work that the Father wanted Christ to perform. This is the work he gave Christ to do. And this is the work that glorified the Father. He said, "Father, I've glorified you on the earth." This is the work. Verse 26, Christ said on behalf of his people, as the substitute for his people, the sin bearer of his people, the suffering redeemer of his people. This is what he said. Verse 26. He said, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." In Lamentations 3, he said, "My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." Lamentations 3 is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And he said, "My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." Perished, died. He said, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery." There in Gethsemane, there on the cross of Calvary. He said, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall." He said, "My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." Humbled for the sake of my people. Oh, how our Lord humbled himself for the sake of his people. Humbled himself all the way down to the grave. In Psalm 40, that's also Christ speaking. for the redemption of his people, bearing their judgment. He cried, innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. It fails me. But he went on to say, even though I am poor and needy right now, he said, Father, I know that you're thinking upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. That's what he cried out to him. Psalm 73, verse 26. He said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He said in Psalm 16, I know that thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. I know you won't. He said, I know that you're the strength of my heart. I know you're the strength of my heart. And if you, again, you have a margin, it says for strength, it says rock. You are the rock of my heart. And he said, I know you're going to be my portion forever. So seeing that, entering into that conversation between the Father and the Son, because the Father set that on behalf of Christ. And because Christ said that on behalf of his people, we can say the same thing. This is the cry of every child of God. This is the cry of every believer in the confidence of their work, what they covenanted to do, in the confidence of their covenant. Because they said these words, we can say these words. And because Christ said this to the Father, we can say it to the Father. Look at verse 24. It says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Does that not give you any encouragement? All the days of our life on this earth, he is guiding us with his counsel. And he's going to keep doing that until the last day comes. The last step is taken. The last breath is breathed. And once that's done, he's going to receive us into glory. He won't leave us. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. After Christ arose, he said to all of his people, starting with Mary Magdalene, he said, because of what I've done, because of this adopting blood, Ephesians says we're adopted into his family. Because of this blood that paid your adoption price, he said, he is now my Father and your Father. My Father and your Father. And he said, when you pray, you can pray directly to him. We're going through Matthew. We're about to begin Matthew 6, where the Lord said, when you pray, you say, our Father. Christ bought that for us, purchased that for us. He said, you pray directly to him and he will hear you. And he will accept you and he will receive you in me. He'll receive you in Christ. And he said, in me, he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And he'll hold your hand and lead you. And he'll guide your feet till you take that step into glory. To the Father we cry, thank God. Verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, with the wisdom of your counsel. Aren't you so glad that the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing is of the Lord? We try to make these decisions. We try to go this way or that way. And we're asking ourselves all the time, what is wise? What's the wise way? What's the right counsel here? What do we do? Thou shalt guide me in thy counsel. You're going to guide me in your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. The old man in here there is an old man still with us, and we know it and really experience. I believe we experience the old man sometimes more in worship than anywhere else. That old man is fighting and warring. I was watching something. I was watching a guy talk about something the other day, and I was very interested in it, and I was soaking up every word that man had to say, just on something I was interested in. And the thought went through my mind, I wish I could listen to the gospel like this. I wish I could retain this, acknowledge this. You know what I'm talking about? There is an old man in here, and we experience that old man as soon as we come in. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. You know, we think, well, we've been working all day, so we're tired, and that's why I'm sleepy. Oh, no, it's not. You work Monday, and you're tired. You go right up till 9, 10 o'clock, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Come in here on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. What happens? We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling with principalities and powers and spiritual things. And that old man in here gravitates to that. There's an old man in here that gravitates to the world and desires the things of the world. But there's a new man in here that desires Christ. There's an old man that caters to the world and would prefer to cater to the things of the flesh and wants the things of the flesh. But thank God there's a new man in here who just wants Christ. That's all he wants. He just wants Christ. Just let me get to Christ. Just lead me to Christ. Like that story, I love that story of Charles Wesley. He was back in the 1700s. He was in his house, and he was sitting there writing or doing something, and the windows were open, and he had those shutter sashes, you know, and a massive storm just came up, just all of a sudden, just a huge, terrible lightning, thunder. So he ran to the window and reached out to close the sashes, and as soon as he did, a bird flew into his coat. Then he pulled that little bird into his warmth and safety, and he sat down and wrote, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Just let me come to you. Just let me come to you, please." Verse 25 says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." With Christ, because of Christ, in the promise of the covenant of Christ, we can right now say, even though, like verse 26 says, my flesh and my heart is failing me here on this earth. My flesh is failing me. My heart is failing me. It says, God is the strength of my heart, and He's my portion forever. He is my portion forever. He's going to lead me. This is just a glorious thought. He's going to lead me in His wise counsel until the day that He brings me to glory. And He's given me a heart that wants Him and Him alone, a new heart, a new man that desires, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's none on earth that I desire beside you. And even though my flesh and my heart is failing me, God is the strength of my heart. And He's going to encourage that heart, because He is my portion forever. He's my portion forever. Thank God we can say that. Go with me to Lamentations 3. This is in closing. Lamentations 3. After Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, verse 1, he said, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. This is Christ speaking. He led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He broke my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. This is our hope. That he didn't do it to us. He did it to Christ instead of us. Verse 6, he hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hedged me about that I cannot get out. He made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He forsook me. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. How awful. The wrath of God that came down on Christ for us. Verse 13, he hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, a mockery, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. And because of that, we can now say in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Years ago, a brother came to me before the Bible study one Sunday morning, and he was worried about his sin. He was very, very worried about his sin. And he was wondering about his hope. He was urgent about it. And I told him, our hope is in the Lord's mercy. Our hope is in the suffering that Christ endured to not bring the judgment upon us we deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and Christ took it for us. Our hope is in the blood that was shed to bring mercy to us. And you cast your all on the mercy of God and beg God for that mercy. And so then we had the Bible study. And after it was over, between the Bible study and the morning message, he pulled me aside again and he said, how much mercy does the Lord have for me? And I said, it's infinite. It's never ending. It's inexhaustible. It starts over brand new every single morning. And this was just precious. I'll never forget this. He started just belly laughing. He started laughing and laughing and laughing. He said, that's the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. I said, me too. Me too. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. He's what I get. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. With that and in that, we can say, my flesh and my heart may be failing me right now, but God is the strength of my heart and he will be my portion. He will be our portion forever, now and forever. Amen. All right, let's all stand together.